Well, amen. Thank you, student choir. I appreciate that so very much. I'm telling you what, did a great job, and I appreciate that. Good to see you today. I'm glad to be with you today. Brother Jeff is celebrating something very special today. That's why he is not here. He is celebrating the baptism of one of his grandchildren. And he is in Oklahoma today, so you be praying for him. I don't know what the weather's like in Oklahoma today, but you be praying for Brother Jeff and for Kelly as they're traveling. And I know it's going to be a great day for them as they're celebrating the baptism of their grandchild. And, you know, this is a beautiful time of the season. It's a wonderful time of the year. And I appreciate Brother Jeff giving me the opportunity to be here today and to share God's word with you. Brother Jeff said, now you can preach whatever the Spirit leads you to preach. He said, but we're staying in the book of Matthew. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of the way he left it with me. But no, I'm only kidding on that. But he did say, you know, I could preach whatever the Holy Spirit did lead me to preach. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to open them to the Matthew, the fourth chapter, Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading in the 12th verse. And the 12th verse is where we're going to be today. This is going along with your Bible study this morning, as a matter of fact. My approach is going to be a little bit different than the one that is found in your Bible study this morning. And I hope that you'll hear what God has to say, because it's a very important time in the ministry of Jesus at this point. And so what we want to do is open it up this morning and see what God has to call us to, and I want us to understand that call today as we enter into it. Looking at verse 12, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee, and the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. For from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Last week, Brother Jeff left off on chapter 3 and verse 17, and the last sentence of that verse, or that verse of Scripture, yes, is this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And if you'll notice, immediately after that, we go into chapter 4, and when we go into chapter 4, what we find is the temptation of Jesus. Now, I find something unusual as I was reading and studying the Word of God one day. This just came to me. If you'll notice what Satan does, he challenges the very last sentence of verse 17, where it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He says in verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, if you are the Son of God. Then he goes on in verse 6 and he says, if you are the Son of God. And then in verse 9, he said, you know, if you'll fall down and worship me. The temptations that Satan brought to Jesus was a challenge to him being the very Son of God. And now when we open up where we're at today in Matthew chapter 12, what we find is we find the changing or the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Also, he's going to be calling his first disciples. There's something about the call of God that challenges every one of us. It's also something that brings great excitement to our life when we hear that God would be calling us. There's excitement that is there, but also there's something to take very seriously. Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song, and it's called The Great Adventure. And in that verse, the chorus of that song, here's what it says. It says, saddle up your horses. We've got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is the life like no other. This is the great adventure. You see, when we're called by God, we begin a great adventure. That adventure of walking hand in hand with the Lord, going where He leads us to go and doing what He leads us to do. But the very thing that's so important is hearing that call when we are given that call. We're called to this great adventure that God has for us. So what involves the calling? I want you to first of all notice this morning the timing of this calling. Jesus has learned that John the Baptist has been put into prison, and he has left Nazareth. Now, why did he leave Nazareth? Well, we find over in Luke's gospel that that was the hometown of where Joseph was, and Jesus was a part of that town. And it came to the point when Jesus begins his ministry, he stood up in the synagogue, and he read from Isaiah. And after he read from Isaiah, he closed the book, and he went and he sat down. And then he says, today, these words, our scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And then we find that after that point, we find that Jesus made this statement in verse 24. Because the folks said, well, who is this man? I mean, isn't he Joseph's son? And in verse 24 of Luke 4, he says, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Jesus is leaving Nazareth because he's not accepted in his hometown. Now, I'll be honest with you, I pastored my home church for 7 years, and it was one of the toughest ministries that I had, but it was also a good ministry that God blessed. But Jesus has not been accepted in Nazareth, and because he's not been accepted in Nazareth, he leaves and he goes to Galilee, and he sets up now in Capernaum, where he's going to perform many miracles. He's going to call 5 of his disciples to himself. Those men are Peter and Andrew, John and James, and then Matthew, the tax collector. It's a time when Jesus is about to begin his ministry. And Jesus goes and he says this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He picks up where John has left off, preaching basically the same message, telling them that they need to repent and to turn to him. So the timing of this call is so very important in Jesus' life, because he goes and there he sets up his ministry at Capernaum. But there's a second point I want to make about this call this morning, and I want you to notice that it is a personal invitation. Notice the personal invitation of this call, because Jesus called these fishermen to come and follow him. He says in verse 19, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, it's interesting to note something about these men that Jesus has called. They were not men of great scholarship. They were not men of great influence or wealth or social background. They were poor. They were simple working people with no great background. And yet, the Lord would look at them and he would say, follow me. I want you to understand something about the word follow me there. It's implied he's saying you. He's saying you. You come and you follow me. So he makes it very personal. It's a personal invitation to come and to answer this call that he's giving to them. And these ordinary men that Jesus chose were those who would make a difference in the world. You see, when you hear the call of God, it's always personal. It's always, you come and you follow me. You follow me. What Jesus needs today, folks, is just ordinary people who will give themselves. And he can do anything with any of us if we're willing to turn our lives over to him. But I want you to notice, thirdly of all this morning, and I want you to notice the purpose of the call, and I'm going to kind of dwell here for just a little bit. This point will be longer than the rest of them. But I want you to notice something about the purpose of this call. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I love the way the Greek explains that. It says, I will make you to become a fisher of men. Here's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to be fishers of men. You know, I'm not much of a fisher. I'll be honest with you. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of my experiences here in just a little bit. In the time of Jesus, they had three ways that they caught fish. Of course, they would do like we do today. They had a hook and line, and they would catch fish in that way. But they also had what they call the casting of the net. It was about a 9-foot net, and it had weights on it. And what they would do, they would either throw it from the land or throw it from just inside the ocean or sea or wherever they were fishing. And those weights would go down, and it would capture the fish, and they would draw them to the bank. But there was also a third way, and that was what they called drawing the net. It was placed between two boats, and what they did, they would go down, and they would gather the fish because it was weighted as well, and it would catch the fish as they were going down the sea or wherever they were at. And so we find that was the ways they were fishers. But I want you to know something. These men had to be good fishers. But what does it take to be a good fisher? Even of men now, I'm talking about fish. I'm going to give you an example of my fishing, but I want you to know it applies to us in being fishers of men. I got this from William Barclay, and William Barclay says, first of all, to be a good fisher, you've got to have patience. You've got to have patience. Now, let me tell you something. The first time I ever took Caleb fishing, I gave him a rod and reel, and I put a worm on his hook. Now, this was a live worm. And I am using an artificial worm, and I'm throwing it out, and I'm reeling it in. Well, Caleb would throw his worm out and reel it in. Throw it out and reel it in. And finally, I just got frustrated, and I said, listen, we've got to do something different. So what I did, there, someone had been fishing there before me, and there was a plastic worm that was laying there on the ground. So I got the plastic worm, just hooked his little bitty hook into that plastic worm, and I let him just throw it out all he wanted to throw it out. Whenever he threw it out, he'd throw it out there and reel it in, and in no time, he had caught a 2-pound bass. I caught nothing that day. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to not catch anything, just ask me to go fishing with you. Because I don't have the persistence, I don't have the patience, you know, to fish. If they don't start biting within 30 minutes, I'm ready to go. But be a good fisherman. It takes patience. You know, you've got to just be kind of that type of person that can sit there and just wait for them to bite. You see, to be a good fisher of men, you have to have patience as well. You have to be patient with people. People are not all people are at the same level. And you've got to be patient with them. But there's also a second thing about being a good fisherman, and that is you've got to have perseverance. You've got to be persevering. You know, We've got to not get discouraged, but we've always got to try and try again. Whether you're preaching or whether you're teaching, it's easy to get discouraged, but you don't need to be because, you see, you haven't seen what the Lord has been doing. As a matter of fact, when you have to have perseverance, the last time I took my boys fishing, Caleb and Daniel, we were fishing at my wife's aunt's pond. And they were fishing. We were fishing on the bank, and we were over there, and we were just a fishing. And you know, I had to get some new bait to put on my hook. And the next thing I know, I am hooked right here, and I'm bleeding like a, you know, I mean, I'm just bleeding profusely. My youngest son had come back like this, and I'm the one that he caught. So you have to be kind of persevering. You know, you don't know what you're going to be going through whenever you're fishing. But you got to be ready to try and try again. You have to have perseverance if you're going to be a fisher of men. Because you see, you're in it for the long haul. And that's why it is so important. But you've got to have courage as well. You know, if you're going to be a good fisherman, you've got to be one who is courageous. Because out in front of you, there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of things that you don't see. There's a lot of things that you don't know about. You've got to be ready to take a risk and to face even the fury of the sea or whatever it might be that would be there. I went fishing with one of the deacons in my church in Enterprise one day. We went down on the Chattahoochee, down below Dothan, and we're going up, and I thought we were going to be in Eufaula before I knew it. And finally, you know, we finally got over here, and we're fishing a little bit and wasn't catching anything. And so we started on our way home. And he's got that boat wide open because I've got a baseball game. Caleb's got a baseball game that night, and I've got to get home because I was the coach. And he's got this boat going wide open, going up down that river, trying to get back towards Dothan. And all of a sudden, I look over there on the bank, and there's an alligator. And I mean, that joker was 12 feet long, and you know, he's just laying there enjoying the sun. Go a little bit further, and there's another alligator. And I thought, oh my goodness, let's don't break down at this point. And the next thing I know, there goes my hat. I had a baseball cap on. There goes my cap. And I looked at this deacon of mine, and I said, listen, we ain't worried about the cap. Let's just get on home. And I thought to myself after that point, you know, what if one of those alligators ate that hat? Somebody's going to think that he ate a person, you know? But it takes courage. It's according to where you go fishing. And my daddy was fishing one day on the river, and they're just trolling down the river kind of, and the next thing he knows, a big old moccasin fell out of a tree and went down his back. So it can be dangerous, but you got to be courageous if you're going to be a fisher of men. Not everybody's going to like your message. Not everybody's going to like you. Because everybody don't like Jesus. But you got to be brave. You see, a good preacher or a good teacher must be aware there's always dangers when you tell someone the truth. And when you tell the truth more often than not, it takes that courage. Because I want you to know something. The greatest thing you deal with in trying to be a fisher of men is that of fear. But there's another thing, and that is you've got to wait for the right moment. You know, sometimes when you're trying to share the gospel, there are those that are just right ready. They're ready to make that decision to give their life to Christ. And then there's other times you have to cultivate them to get them to come. You see, there is no hopeless fish. And you and I have got to get to that right moment where their hearts are right and ready that we share the good news. But we also, folks, we've got to use the right bait. If we don't use the right bait, you know, you don't fish for bass the same way you do for bluegill or whatever else. But there's also one other thing, and that is this. You've got to keep yourself out of sight. I don't know if you've ever walked down a bank and you might see some fish in the water and you get closer to them and they just scatter. You see, the best thing that you and I can do when we call men to Christ is to just get out of the way and let Jesus be the center and focus of what we're doing. You see, you and I have got to keep ourselves out of sight. And we've always got to be willing to share the gospel, but always remember it's not about us. There's also a fourth thing that I want to talk to you about the call this morning, and that is this, the persistence throughout Scripture. Now, listen to me very carefully, and everybody do this if you're listening, okay? Here's something I want you to understand. God usually calls people who are busy doing something. Uh-oh. You say, I can't do anything else. What else can I do? You see, Jesus called the apostles as they were casting their nets. He called them as they were mending their nets. And I want to give you some examples this morning because Spurgeon says this. He said, the Lord does not call idle fishers of men. You see, Moses was tending his father's flock when God called him. He was busy. Gideon was threshing the wheat in Judges chapter 6. Saul was looking for his father's donkeys in 1 Samuel chapter 9. David was keeping his father's sheep in 1 Samuel 17. Amos was tending. He was a shepherd, and he was also a tender of fig trees when God called him. And you look in Luke chapter 2, what were the shepherds doing? They were out keeping their flocks by night. In Matthew chapter 9, we find that Matthew left his table, and there he went and followed Jesus. I've often heard this saying that if you want to get something done, find some of the busiest people in the church to do it, because they're already busy. Listen, I want you to know something. We get so afraid of a word in our church that scares us to death, and that's called work. I graduated with an old boy in high school, and they put these sayings over their names in the annual, you know? And he said, I just admire work. I could sit and watch it all day long, you know? But you're called to be persistent in being a fisher of men. And then I want you to notice number 5 is this. There's the response to the call of God. You know, for you and for some of you sitting here today, today might be that very day that you have been waiting for. Notice what the Word of God says. In verse 20, it says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. In verse 22, after he called James and John, it says, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Immediately. You see, the response to the call of God is not to wait. Not to wait. These disciples are give us a great example. They left immediately. And so following Jesus means that you and I are going to have to leave some things behind. The Samaritan woman left her pitcher at the well. Matthew left his tax table. Blind Bartimaeus left his cloak to follow Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean you've got to be an expert. You don't need a seminary degree or a doctorate. You don't need to be trained for 40 years before you're going to work in the harvest. As disciples, you're going to make mistakes, yes. But my goodness, didn't you get married? And yet, your spouse still married you. What I want you to see is this. The ministry that we have of discipleship calls for a response. That we've got this mandate of discipleship to follow God and to follow his call. But you see, there was another response that we find that was in in following this call. And then it says in verse 25, it says, great multitudes followed him. There were so many that chose to follow Christ. Multitudes did. You see, I find in the call of God, there is something very special. There is something very important. And that is this. First of all, you've got to hear the call of God. You've got to hear the call of God. It's got to be heard. Some of you, you may have heard the call of God on your life to come and maybe receive Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Some of you may have heard the Lord that there's a vocation that he wants you to be involved in. You may have heard the Lord that there is a mission field that he wants you to serve on. So the first thing you've got to do is be willing to hear the call. And then the second thing that you've got to do is this. Choose to grow in godliness and walk with the Lord every day. To become more Christ-like in everything that you do. You see, this call that Christ gives to us today is a very special call. And as I said earlier in the message, it's something that you and I are to take seriously. But it's also something that brings us excitement in walking with Him. Max Lucado, in his book, The Eye of the Storm, he made a statement that has caught my eye. And he says this. He said that it's bad when fishermen don't fish. If we're called to be fishers of men, it's time to fish. It's time to hear the call, to get involved in proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. Let me ask you today, would you accept the great adventure? Oh goodness, let me tell you, you don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what you're going to face in this great adventure, but it's still a great adventure. As Stephen Curtis Chapman says in the song, we've got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is life like no other. This is the great adventure. Are you ready to begin a great adventure with God? Or maybe you're ready to pick up maybe where you may have left off at some point and once again get involved in this great adventure. Or maybe today, you want to begin this great adventure. The adventure of coming to know Christ and to know that Jesus Christ died for you. That you could have eternal life. And today He wants to begin a relationship with you. Would you do that today? Whatever Christ is calling you today, answer His call. Answer His call. Man, if your cell phone rang right now, you'd want to answer it. But what if God calls and says, today is the day to begin a great adventure? Would you bow with me, please? In just a moment, Brother Keith is going to be down front. If there's a decision that you feel that you need to make in answering the call of God, hearing that powerful call that God is speaking to you about today, are you going to respond? Oh, gracious Father, give us willingness, give us courage over fear, and Lord, may we just step out and to answer your call today. For I ask you, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?